Kathy. Thank you so much for that ministry. And let me just put in another plug for this. Everybody here probably, I would be shocked if you told me you didn't know one, but everyone here knows someone who is of the Muslim faith. Everyone here probably runs into the grocery store or wherever you go out and about, and you potentially run into someone who is of the Muslim faith. One thing we want to be doing is praying that those who are of the Muslim faith would come to know that Jesus is God and that He is Savior. And this is a tool that I really hope we will use very faithfully over the next month and be praying with great love for those who, all the world who doesn't know Christ, but especially for the Muslim faith, especially maybe even this fall potentially. We have a six-week series. Basically, I call it a Muslim 101, understanding the Muslim faith, because many of us don't know the basic tenets of what a Muslim believes, and I think it would be helpful for us to be a better witness in this community, which is filled with Muslims, to take a little course like that. So you hear more about that probably in August sometime. As was said, I was in Cuba on a week's holiday ministry. As you know, one of my ministries outside of the church is with Cuba, and this week was a holiday week, and I went to Cuba to minister, and 6 of the 7 days were awesome. The 7th day was not. I feel like I should say, and it was the 7th day. At 3 o'clock in the morning, my wife called me and said, "Alan, one of the ladies in the team, which was at another place, another residence, is throwing up violently and can't stop, and you need to help her. She thinks she has to go to the hospital." So I'm in bed, okay, 3 o'clock, I'm trying to get my bearings. I said, okay, and I put the phone down, and immediately I went, oh no. I stood up and I went, oh no. And I was in the washroom for about 3 hours. I know you all want to hear that. You know, that's exciting news. But we all got hit with food poisoning. We had gone to a restaurant we normally go to. It should have been fine, but it was so bad that even our Cuban host, Cuban driver and my Cuban interpreter were out for the rest of the week. It was that bad. It hit them. So you know when a Cuban goes down, it's okay, I feel all right, you know? So all week long, as Steve said, it was like the energy level was gone, and it worked a bit, and then I just have to stop. So I am feeling, as of probably Friday and yesterday, I'm feeling normal again. I'm great. I'm good. Don't I look good now? Thank you very much. I needed that. Well, let's get to the Word this morning. We're really coming down to the, as they say, the short strokes, the final strokes of Book of Galatians. And one thing that I notice in this passage is teaching us one thing, and that there are certain laws that just can't be broken. Now, we have some very, very bright people here. One of my brightest friends is Zach. Zach, what's a law? As an engineer student, what's a law in this world that we just, at this point, we know we can't break it?
Conservation of energy.
Conservation of energy. Tell us a little bit more. We'll give you... Right. Right. Fantastic. Did you? You were going to say that. My wife. Everybody got that? Constants of energy. Well, I like that one. That's a very good one. The one I was going to use was, you know, what goes up must come down. That's the law of gravity. And I'm not going about to stand on the roof and step off the roof because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to fall, and I'm probably going to either, I'm going to break a lot of things, or I'm not going to be here, because that's a law. It's an inviolable law. But this little passage of Scripture here is teaching very much the same thing. It's teaching a principle of reciprocity. It's teaching that built into the whole fabric of creation are laws. And in verse 6 and 7 and 8 predominantly, as we look at, we'll see that there is a spiritual law as well. You can't break it. You think you can break it, but you cannot break it. It is that a person reaps after the same manner and the nature that they sow. What we reap, what we sow, we reap, right? It is a law. Every thought, every attitude, every action has its own natural outcome. It is going to happen. If you sow what is bad, you will reap what is bad. If you sow what is good, you will reap what is good. And so Paul sort of starts this little section after he has just gone through, in chapter 5, you remember, he's gone through walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, being filled by the Spirit, by about verse 25 of the last chapter, keeping in step with the Spirit. He has gone through that after having taught us that there's a group of people in their time and day, and still today, who want us to go to a place where spirituality is about what we do. And if we do certain things, like keeping holidays, keeping special holy times, and doing special things to our body, that we will be more spiritual than those who don't. As a matter of fact, we can't even be spiritual people if we don't do those things. And Paul says, that's a lie. They are absolutely misleading you, Galatians. They are absolutely misleading you, Bridletown Park Church, if that's what you think. And so he says, that's not the way it is. The way it is we are spiritual people when we walk in the Spirit, when we are led by the Spirit, and we keep in step with the Spirit. And so, you know, we come to this little verse here. It's sort of an odd verse if you think about it. Let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. That's the odd verse in this. Some people wonder, why is that stuck there? Because right after it says, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. That's the real punch verse right there, the one that should grab you. But this one about teachers, and this one about sharing all good things, how does that relate to this verse? I think he's setting us up for the principle. The word taught or teach is katecheo, which really is a verbal instruction. It's people who are teaching God's word, who are teaching God's truth. And those of us who are gleaning from those who teach God's truth are to share with those teachers. That word share is a great word. It's an imperative. It's a command. It's a word that has great emphatic zest to it. Literally means to partner with. So with those who are sowing the good word, teaching it, we are to share with them and therefore become a part of their sowing. So in our tradition, we have pastors who are paid, and we have youth pastors who are paid, and sometimes the church is big enough, worship pastors, those people who are put into ministry full-time to focus. And this little verse says, as we share with them, we share in their sowing. And so he says, I want to get you started on the right foot by saying, even as you take care of those who are sharing the word, you are a part of a greater process of sharing that good word in the community and the world around. And so I think Paul is very clear here. He is saying, don't be misled by others. I want to get you to the right place as we conclude. That teaching that says, if you want to be spiritual, you have to do all this, is not right. If you want to be spiritual, be led by the Spirit. And as you are led by the Spirit, you will sow good things, which will reap good things. Well, reaping what is sowed. Verse 7 and 8 really state the spiritual principle that lies behind verse 6. Let's look at verse 7 and 8 carefully here. Do not be deceived. Paul's a very clear person. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. As we've already said, in every dimension, including moral and spiritual, the universe is structured in a way that there are unyielding laws. What goes up must come down, that concept. And in Galatians 6:7 here, he goes to the law of botany. that a given seed will only reproduce of its own kind. And we see this principle even in Genesis, that we see that the animals reproduced after their own kind. It's in the world of botany, it's in the world of agriculture and farm animals and animals in general, and in humankind. As human beings, we reproduce after our own kind. The physical laws and the moral laws are inviolable. But here in the spiritual realm, it's the same. He says, do not be deceived. I love that. It's a great warning, isn't it? Don't be misled. I've been teaching you about how they've misled you so far. Here's one more time. Don't be misled. In other words, he's also saying, God is not mocked. That word mocked is a good word. It means to snub, to sneer, to treat with contempt. It actually means, in the original, it has a sense of turning one's nose up at something. So don't be misled. Don't try to mock God. Don't turn your nose up at God and say, God, I know your laws are such and such, but I think I can break them and get away with it. Some of us do that sometimes, don't we? Sometimes we deceive ourselves that we can sow things that are not right, and in the end, everything will turn out all right. We sometimes, as a Christian, we think that we can sin. We can do those things that are against the very holy nature of God, and somehow we will be immune from God's standards. Somehow we will be immune from God's judgment in time to come. I know that God will forgive those who sin. When we come to God, he loves to forgive us. But the outcome of our actions isn't as easy, is it? When I speak improperly to my dear wife and I'm harsh, that's a sin between us. But that outcome is still there. I still hurt her. I still hurt someone else that I may have spoken. Or if I do something improper, it still comes out, even though I may be asking God to forgive me. Some of us even think there are people in this world who are doing things that you know that aren't right, and they're getting away with it. We ever think about that? Some people are just so bad, and yet nothing seems to stick on them. Well, I can tell you this much, that there is coming a day that they will be standing before God and will be judged. All will be judged. There is coming a day that both the evil and the good in this world will be ultimately judged, because God created this world on order and based on laws, physical, moral, and spiritual. Farmer works by that principle. He plants crops by that principle. As a matter of fact, I pastored in a farming community for 5 years. Loved that stay in near Collingwood area. And I was just waiting for a farmer to let me plant his crop for him, but they never let me. I might have gone out, and I thought, I really like apple trees. But the farmer wants me to plant oats, but instead I plant all these seeds that are apple seeds. And, you know, the summer goes along, and things aren't just progressing as the farmer thought. And he looks to me, and he says, Alan, you know, you wanted a farming experience, and you planted, but I wanted oats. What are these? I said, they're apple trees. I was hoping they would turn out to be oats. I just love apples. But I knew you want oats, and I was hoping if I planted these, they would, in the end, ultimately turn out to be oats. Well, you know that's a silly idea, don't you? It just doesn't work. There are laws. If you plant apple seeds, you're going to get apple trees. And the farmer will not be able to harvest that and make any money, and he will not like me very much. So if I'm engaging in, or if you're engaging in, those things which step out of alignment with the will of God and his holiness, those sinful things in our life, we cannot avoid the natural consequences. The natural consequences will come out. We cannot sow indulgence and reap health. We cannot sow strife and reap peace. We cannot sow sin and reap righteousness. It just won't happen. you cannot sow the works of the flesh and reap the fruit of the Spirit. So, doesn't that, at that moment, we stop right here and go, okay, I got to go back to chapter 5 and refresh myself. What are the fruit of the Spirit? If I'm going to reap the fruit of the Spirit, I really have to know what they are. So I encourage you, go back, review, refresh, and understand what are the fruit of the Spirit. And then think of what are the fruit of the flesh? What are the works of the flesh? There was a report put out by the Associated Press in the fall of 1997. So a little while ago now, it was reported that, about an experiment that potentially had far-reaching potential for fighting disease. Dr. John Rose and his research team at Yale Medical School had successfully altered the genes of a virus that normally infects livestock and turned it into a virus that specifically and exclusively attacked AIDS-infected cells and destroyed them. And his research with the team was a large part in some of the very helpful medications that are on the market today for AIDS. The infection really was put down. They actually created little smart bombs out of this virus that attacked the AIDS viruses in the body. And just as viruses can be designed to kill viruses, one of the ways that God judges evil is to withdraw his protection and allow evil to come against what is evil in the world. So I'm not worried about evil in this world because God's going to judge it. That fruit that comes from evil will bring evil, and God will take care of it. All I want to know is, how can I be an agent of blessing that brings the fruit of the Spirit? Blessings. There's a principle of multiplication here. We not only reap in like kind, but we reap more in quantity than what we sow. So if I sow in the ground corn, one little seed of corn, guess what? I get a lot of corn. Simple process, isn't it? Works every time. If I put that apple seed in the ground, I love apples. If I put it in the ground, I get this huge apple tree, not with one apple, but probably, if it's well cared for, hundreds of apples that can feed this whole room. That's the principle of multiplication. As a matter of fact, as I think of multiplication, I also think about the ones who are sowing to the flesh, that one day God will judge them. God doesn't do a lot of judging right now. You know why? Because this life isn't over. There is coming a great white throne judgment we'll look at another day, but a time when God takes all those who have sown evil, and he will judge them for that. And so he's waiting till this life is over, and that sowing is done. And the harvest is seen, and he'll say, this is what you've done. This is the evil that you brought. But you know what? A little good deed goes a long way, doesn't it? Have you ever done something in the Spirit of God that says, I need to bless this person. I need to speak well to this person. I need to show grace, love, and mercy in this situation. Have you ever seen that multiply and grow into a greater blessing? I have. I know when I've said something to someone and they come back later and said, that word that you gave me of encouragement had changed my whole week, changed my year, and it's been a multiple of blessing to me. That happens in everywhere, in every area of our life when we walk in the Spirit. You know Dr. Dahan, who does the Daily Bread. Many of you get Daily Bread. He did a little, I think, an impressive stat concerning sowing and reaping in the lives of two men. Two men. The one man was Jonathan Edwards. He was a great man of Christian character, preacher. And another was Max Jukes. Both lived at the same time, were contemporaries. Let me tell you the difference in sowing to the Spirit and sowing to the flesh. Jonathan Edwards, as he sowed to the Spirit, was a man of high Christian character and commitment. Out of his 1,394 descendants that Dr. Dahan looked at, 13 became college presidents, 65 were professors, 60 were prominent lawyers, 32 were noted authors, 90 were physicians, 200 plus were ministers of the gospel, and 300 were highly successful farmers. These were all of his descendant line. And as he lived out his life as the, sort of the top of that tree, the root of that tree, and out of that fruit of his life of sharing Jesus, of living Christ out and keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, all these Christians rooted out of that and became successful, important, useful members of society, and blessed literally thousands and hundreds of thousands of people with their lives. His contemporary, Max Jukes, if there's a lawyer in here, please forgive me, but he calls him a notorious foul-mouthed lawyer. But this is what happened with Max. The life histories of 903 of his descendants were recorded. Of these, 300 were delinquents. That's a term for people who, at that day and age, really did nothing in life. 145 were confirmed alcoholics. 90 were prostitutes. 285 had evil diseases. And over 100 spent an average of 13 years in prison. The crimes in care of this one family had cost the state of New York millions of dollars. I don't know what to say about that, except out of the fruit of the Spirit in one man's life came descendants that knew Christ and lived for Christ and were productive in being a blessing in their community. Out of the life of another man who chose to ignore God, to put God aside, out of his life came hundreds of descendants that were nothing but a burden on society and did nothing to bring society forward. That's called the law of sowing and reaping. So I encourage you this morning, as you consider what Paul is saying, to take stock of your life, to say, am I really walking in the Spirit? Do I know the Holy Spirit well enough that I am in such good connection with Him that I know when I am out of step with Him and I am not sowing to the Spirit, but I am sowing to the flesh? The flesh is that old man, that part of us that still wants to operate independently of God, that still wants to live our lives in a way that we are put first, not God. That's sowing to the flesh. But to sow to the Spirit, it's the same as abiding in Christ. You remember in John 8 and John 15 where Jesus says, I am the vine and you're the branches, abide in me. That's the same thing. Walking in the Spirit is abiding in Christ. It's the same as walking in Christ, Colossians 2 says. It's the same as setting one's mind on things above, not on the things of earth. It's the same as Matthew chapter 6, where it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is. That's the walk in the Spirit that we're looking for. It's a mindset that says, I want to live for Christ today. The only way I can really do that is to sow actions, attitudes, words, thoughts that are sown in the Spirit. I want to encourage you. That's the life that we want as believers. In Seattle, they have a team called the Mariners, a baseball team. There was a guy named Terry Mulholland who played back in the 90s. And from opening day 1992 till June 1997, only 6 runners were able to steal second base from him. Now, if you know anything about baseball, that is an amazing statistic. There it is. I had my wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable. But nobody could steal, really. Six guys. And a lot of guys said that they thought that Terry used to let them hit just so that they could get to first base where he could pick them off. They thought that he enjoyed picking people, guys running to second base so much, he wouldn't mind if they get to first. He had such a good move, and in baseball terms, you have to be able to pitch to home plate, and you only have a certain amount of time before you have to go to home plate. And so there's this move that pitchers have where they can start to home plate. It looks like they're going to throw, but then they can throw to first or to second. And his move was so good. I pitched a little bit when I was younger. I wished I had that move. I'd be making millions of dollars and giving it to Jesus, that's for sure. But you know, Satan, sometimes we think Satan wants to give us pleasure. He doesn't want to give us pleasure. Sometimes we think Satan just wants our lives to be full of agony and pain and suffering. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to pick us off, just like Terry. He wants us to get to first base and enjoy getting to first base in life. Because there's coming a day that we will not realize how good he had been. And he's going to pick us off. And that's the day of judgment. When maybe as a Christian, he's allowed us to feel like we're living our lives without his concern. But when we look at our life back and we see where we were not walking in the Spirit, and Satan's just going to say, see, I picked you off right there. You didn't even realize it. I was so good. I allowed you to think that I wasn't bothering you at all, and boom, now you're standing before God and judgment comes. And look at all the things you missed. You were walking in the flesh, not in the Spirit. Satan's tricky. He is cunning. I want us to live as a family of God here, knowing that Satan's primary goal is to pick us off. One of the great things that it is about being a church family, that each week we can support each other. We can remind each other that we live in a battle. We're living in a world that we're battling someone we cannot see, but he's very real, and he wants to pick us off. Don't let him pick you off. Don't let him fool you into thinking that you can live your life, sow seeds to the flesh, that you can live this life and live it like a lot of Christians do, trying to make as much money as they can and live as comfortably as they can without really considering that maybe God has got them ready to serve him in an amazing way, but they're so focused on this world, laying up treasures in this world, that they've lost their eternal perspective. Now, there's nothing wrong with working hard and creating a good income. But that has to come out of the right perspective. That has to come out of sowing to the Spirit. As God gives you strength, you work hard, and those resources then you use for God's glory. And you teach your children that God's first, so that your descendants, whether Christ should return next week, today, or 1,000 years from now, our descendants saw in us a walk that was a walk in the Spirit, sowing to the Spirit each and every day. As a matter of fact, some of the smallest seeds in the world, the mustard seed, can create some of the most amazing, huge patches of mustard. So even the smallest seed sown to the flesh can wreak terrible havoc. But even the smallest seed that is sown in the Spirit can multiply way beyond what we could ever imagine. So in the Spirit, folks. And so I sort of conclude with an old saying that we all hear, what goes around comes around. Isn't that true? It's kind of a law. Maybe not as cut and dried as the law that my brother Zach shared with us. And it is definitely not maybe as clear as the law that we're hearing this morning. What you sow, you will reap. But what does go out does come around. If one spends all his time sowing efforts that are fleshly, you will receive fleshly rewards, fleshly results. But if we spend our day saying, Lord, how can I be used, staying in step with the Spirit, to sow to the Spirit, He'll find the way for you. And He says, so don't grow weary. Look at the last portion of our little section here this morning in Galatians. He says, verse 9, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. If we do not give up. It's a constant, everyday kind of thing. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. Just keep asking God, help me to be spiritual. Help me to be in step with the Spirit and sow spiritual things. So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I like that little last reminder. It's a great reminder. Do good as the opportunities come up. I had to think about that myself. How many opportunities did God put before me in the last month that I didn't take up? Because God's always putting little opportunities, sometimes they're big opportunities, before me to sow to the Spirit. Be reflective of this. What's God put in your path as an opportunity to sow to the Spirit? And that's not just here, but it's to the world around us. How will they know us as Christians? They'll know us by our love. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So when you're out in the world and somebody comes up to you and says, do you have some change? This was my, I'm sharing with you my lesson this week. And my typical mindset is maybe to be too judgmental. This past week I really thought about this. And somebody came to me, as a matter of fact, and said, do you have any change? And at first I said no, because that's my, that was typically the pattern I have. When you're downtown, every corner you'll get somebody who asks you, right? And I turned around after putting money in my parking meter and I had change in my hand. And then the Lord said to me, take the opportunity. So I went to Him. I said, here, I've got some change now. And I said, God bless you. Jesus loves you. And He said, thank you, sir. And I don't know where that'll go, but it's a little seed. Just a small seed. It did two things. One, it reminded me that I am a wicked man in so many ways, that I judge, and that's not my job. One day God will be the judge, and we'll leave Him with that. The other opportunity was to be a blessing to that soul. I don't know where it'll go. But those are opportunities all around us. This week, will you take some time and say, every morning, God, help me to keep in step with the Spirit. Help me to walk in the Spirit. And help me to sow to the Spirit. And let me see the opportunities. Now, it's also really interesting that it's not only the world around, but it's to us as brothers and sisters in Christ. He's very specific. He wants us to be a blessing to each other. He wants us to sow to the Spirit with each other. And sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we, particularly as a church family, we mess up when it comes to our mouths, don't we? We say things to each other that are not kind. We get frustrated and we get impatient with each other. And that's not right. May we be always looking for the opportunity in our own fellowship with believers to sow to the Spirit. You know, faith, hope, love, kindness, all those things. Because what Paul is saying is, don't be misled by the Judaizers. Actually, be led by the Spirit, and you will become a powerful agent for God to bless the world around you. I would love it, and I'm sure you would too, if in 300 or 400 years, should the Lord tarry, our family line, each one of our own family lines, is strewn with men and women who came to know Christ and loved Christ and were filled with the Spirit and did good things in this world for the glory of God and did good things within their church families to the glory of God. That's what the Christian life should be all about, loving each other, keeping in step with the Spirit, and sowing to the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for